It's the fall fun drive week here at KTWH. We're featuring weather tidbits now with Kenny Blumenfeld on this World Smile Day. I have on the phone with me DNR senior climatologist Kenny Blumenfeld. Greetings, Kenny.
Hello there. Good morning, everybody. Good to be on with you.
Indeed. I had a chance to visit with you a couple of weeks ago, Kenny, and we since then saw some frosty mornings, frost on the pumpkin for sure on the 28th of September. Then we kind of got tropical again up here on the North Shore. I'm not sure what it was like where you are, but it was balmy. It allowed us to do a whole bunch of things outside that some of us thought maybe we wouldn't get done this fall, only to have some cold rush in on Thursday, and frost is definitely on the pumpkin this morning, and yet I see that we'll be back to the 60s by Monday. So the question comes up for me, is this kind of a normal seesaw pattern? What exactly is happening, and what does that augur for the rest of the month of October, if you could consider that?
Yeah. I guess I would say it is pretty normal that during October you're going to have some spectacular days, and then you'll have days that are more like a preview of what's to come in the weeks and even months ahead. It's a really changeable season. A good way to think of fall is that the autumn season is really just winter replacing summer. And if you imagine, you know, the transition really kicks in during October and November. And by December, the transition's pretty much complete. And, you don't have 60-degree days anymore.
Right.
And so it's this really short period. But during that short transition, you know, you can get tastes of kind of both seasons. And right now, the jet stream, which is the main highway down which weather systems travel in our neck of the woods, that jet stream is pretty close to us. And what that means, it's basically arcing or kind of waving through our region, coming out of the western provinces in Canada. So we call this sort of a northwesterly flow because things are kind of coming out of the northwest. But what really happens is this thing kind of waves, you know, north and southward along, you know, as it kind of meanders over time. And so we'll get these weather systems that come through and they'll produce southerly winds out ahead of themselves, and the temperatures will soar. And we maybe will be in the 50s, 60s, and 70s with sunny skies across Minnesota, probably 50s and 60s in northern Minnesota. And then on the other side of that system, as the winds shift around and come out of the north and northwest, temperatures will fall into the 40s and 30s and maybe even 20s. And then we'll have days like today and yesterday where there's widespread frost or where there's even some drizzle and flurries falling about the state. And then the next system comes by with its southerly winds and we get warm conditions again. Right now, what I'm seeing is a continuation of that pattern with an edge towards the warmer conditions. So maybe the jet stream is anchored a little bit farther north than would be required for us to have kind of predominantly cold conditions. So I'd say, yeah, the seesaw is normal. I would expect more of it, but I would give a slight edge over the next couple weeks to warmer conditions because it's just what we're seeing on the charts. So I don't think we've said goodbye to the 60s and 70s in Minnesota at all.
So, Kenny, we also had a fairly delayed start to the height of the leaf color change season here. And so there were a lot of us that when the cold front blew in on Wednesday night, or was it Thursday morning, we worried because we started seeing, oh, there are going to be gusts 25 to 30 miles an hour, and thought, oh, no. So we've just got beautiful leaf color, and now they're all going to blow off. Do you have any idea what the escape velocity from a twig for a leaf is? and do we have any more dramatic wind in store with the seesaw pattern?
Yeah, that's a good question. No, I don't know. It depends on the leaf. It depends on the twig. It depends on the health of the tree. It depends on where it is in the process. I know, you know, in your neck of the woods, it's hit or miss right now. We're seeing from the DNR current map updated this morning, color change is 50 to 75% peak
right
in Lake County, with, you know, higher amounts when you get into the far northern sections of the state or of the county.
Right.
And we're a little bit behind the last couple of years. So, what we hear from our fall color experts is this year's conditions were pretty good for fall color. And every year is pretty good for fall color, but this year they're hoping anyway that the wet conditions early in the season and the dry conditions later in the season, and now the onset of cold nights is bringing some nice bright reds. And this is, of course, perhaps subjective, but we are getting a lot of non-climatological reports from observers that they're seeing vibrant reds on some of the maples across Minnesota.
We are indeed, even in my neck of the woods, a few miles inland from the lakeshore, and I just would like to have the visitors have an opportunity to see them for a week or two. It adds everybody's positive, tourist vibe. And I know that's not your job to promise that there won't be, winds over 20 or 30 miles an hour. But I thought if that fluctuation between the north and the south winds cycle continued, that maybe, there'd be some tumultuous weather, because it seems that the more turbulent the wind is, the more likely these leaves come off. But that's not really your department, Kenny, so thank you for going there with me.
But the winds I can talk about, and yeah. I think that when you're in a changeable pattern where you do have back and forth conditions between warm and cool, you do get those winds. And so, I don't know if they're going to cross the threshold required to bring leaves down, but fall is a windy season. It's such a changeable season, and I often have to kind of slow down and think about how all of this stuff works. So the concept that fall is winter replacing summer works really well, because you have warm air that pools up in the south and it surges northward during the summertime, and then you, as the sun gets weaker, that warm air can't be. It's not that sort of reservoir of warm air starts to shrink, which makes it appear to retreat. And at the same time, a reservoir of cold air starts building out of the north. And as the sun continues retreating to the south, you get the conditions from the north kind of transporting into our region. All right. So that all probably makes sense to everybody. But yeah. The key here is really wind. The weather never changes without wind. And that's a really important concept. If the weather changes, there was wind somewhere. Almost always you will feel it at the surface when this happens, but anytime you get a changing of temperatures, there has to be wind blowing that warmer or cooler air in. And, because of the massive transition underway during fall, tends to be a pretty windy season. So I would expect, even though I can't speak to the physiology and the strength of the leaf twig tree relationship, I definitely think that at some point the wind will bring the leaves down.
Is it fair to say, Kenny, just as winter replaces summer in fall, the tree is inevitably letting go its leaves? It's just a matter of when. And that's why I was just curious about all of that. And then I also was curious if where the jet stream is set up during this October pattern has anything to do with what will happen through later in the winter, whether this gives you any indication of what conditions will be like in December, January. Not at all.
I wish it did. We all wish it did. No, there's usually very little connection between the summer pattern and the winter pattern. The jet stream actually takes on a much faster configuration with more energy, less overall kind of loopiness. But I shouldn't get that deep there. But in general, in the winter time, the jet stream, it's faster. The gradients between the North Pole and the equator are just much deeper in terms of temperature changes.
Right.
And so you have much faster winds in the jet stream. And that actually changes, that changes all of the governing momentum equations and everything. Remember, we've got a rotating Earth here. And
right.
So that actually, when you change the velocity, you're actually changing other factors associated with all that wind in the jet stream. And then in the summertime, where you have a much kind of a relaxed temperature gradient, it's really hot over the equator in the summer and in the tropics, but it's also sunny all day at the North Pole, and the Arctic regions are at their warmest time of year. So the temperature gradient relaxes, the winds at the surface and aloft generally relax during the summertime, and you go into a very different pattern. And because because fall is just sort of a compromise between those two seasons, there isn't much about October that we could really use to get a sense of what January is going to be like. I mean, we look to bigger things like, well, what's happening in the ocean, and it gets pretty chaotic. Now, we are still in a La Nina pattern. That is when the Pacific equatorial waters around, you know, from Ecuador and Peru all the way west towards Indonesia, they're generally cooler than average. And we've had that. This will be the third winter in a row. Those do tend to be associated with cooler and snowier winters, but there's a major asterisk there. And I'm not sure that we're going to see that this year. I mean, we barely got it last year and in 2020, 2021. And so I don't know what to tell you about this winter, but we look for everything. We turn over every stone trying to get a sense of what the next season is going to be like. Your guess, though, is probably just about as good as mine, Leo.
That's a disturbing thought, Kenny, because I know how hard you work at your job. So I think last week your colleague Peter told Katja that he was equally divided between warmer and colder and just about the same as normal. And that didn't help anyone, but it was honest, I suppose.
Nobody's going to ever get helped by a seasonal forecast, not for the next 20 years or so. I mean, they are so prone to error. And just a reminder to the listeners, we are professional climatologists.
Right.
So although we maybe don't forecast the weather for our day jobs, this is kind of, you know, we do it for you.
And you're moonlighting. Thank you.
What we really do is we talk about the weather that already happened, and I gotta say we bat pretty close to 100% on that. So, you know, you're never wrong when you talk about yesterday. So
I gotta tip my hat. You can't see it, Kenny. I'm tipping my hat for a brilliant synopsis of what has happened. And we do have to run. We've got more great programming coming up on KTWH. And I thank you so much. And you'll probably be back in the saddle talking to Katja in the weeks to come about how the fall is letting summer go and winter in. So thanks so much for joining us today, Kenny.
Great to be on. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll
thank you. You too. Bye now. Kenny Blumenfeld, the senior climatologist, Minnesota DNR. This is Leo for KTWH.